Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope that you had a great weekend. We had such a wonderful weekend at First Baptist Texarkana. Yesterday we gathered and we celebrated our veterans and we prayed for President Trump, President-elect Trump, and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance. We had a great crowd of people, and we showed a video for Veterans Day that just saluted our troops and said thank you. And halfway through the video, people just began to cheer and clap, and it was very, very moving, and it was a long, long applause for sure. And so I think the country is just, at least what we felt, is just celebrating the fact that God has answered our prayers in giving us another chance. As I have been saying, I feel like America is Nineveh. And as we repented, as Christians began to cry out to God, God answered and gave us another chance in allowing Donald Trump, a flawed candidate for sure, but somebody that I believe has a sense of what is right and what is wrong in the country and desires to make America great again. I don't know why anyone would not want America to be great. That doesn't make sense to me. Well, in keeping with the day, Veterans Day, we have our favorite veteran on the line today to discuss issues of the day with me, my good friend, Bishop E.W. Jackson, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained lawyer, a pastor, author, keynote speaker, and the president and founder of Staying True to America's National Destiny. Bishop, welcome to the program.
Pastor Jeff, thanks for having me on. It's always an honor to be with you. And to call me your favorite veteran, brother, I can think of a whole lot of people who have served our country in far greater ways than I have. But thank you very much. I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, you're as far as you're a pastor veteran, so Amen. I love that about you. And so, Bishop, before we jump into some of the issues going on with the election and the aftermath of the election, as a Marine Corps veteran, how do you view Veterans Day?
I was just listening to the song "Front Lines" by this country western singer, and you know it really almost brought me to tears, thinking about the people, the sacrifices, the bloodshed, the lives surrendered in behalf of the liberty of this country and our fellow citizens. I mean, there's something very special about America, Jeff, and I think that our veterans and our active duty people as well are really emblematic of what's special about this country. I think even though we are, as you mentioned, Donald Trump's a flawed candidate, we're a flawed country. We're not a perfect country. But I think that those roots and those values in faith in God, the importance of family, personal responsibility, has allowed us to produce the greatest generation, the people who went to Vietnam, went to Korea, went to Iraq, went to Afghanistan and to places around the world and put their lives on the line in behalf of our liberty. And remember, too, we've never been a nation of conquest. And we're unique in that sense. We have no history of trying to conquer other parts of the world for our good. We've been a nation of liberty. And what we've done is to liberate our own fellow citizens, but also to liberate people around the world. And I tell you, we owe a debt of gratitude to those who serve in the military, to our veterans, that we can never repay.
Well, I know, Bishop, you keep up with the military since that's in your background. I have to think that those guys, by and large, were all for Donald Trump being reelected.
I think there's no question veterans overwhelmingly supported Donald Trump, because I think in spite of the things that were leveled at him. And I mean, they called him everything but a child of God and accused him of everything imaginable. But I think veterans saw in that first administration his love for the veterans, his honor for them, his commitment to them. Remember, Donald Trump stepped in when veterans were waiting 6 months to a year for emergency surgery. I mean, things that were needed immediately, and they couldn't get them through the Veterans Administration. He stepped in and began to address that, gave veterans vouchers that would allow them to pick their own doctor so they wouldn't be waiting in line for the Veterans Administration to treat them. So every step along the way, I think Donald Trump has demonstrated his commitment to our troops abroad. And I think that they rewarded him for it by going to the polls and voting for him. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I think the country really developed a consensus that what Donald Trump did in the first 4 years compared to what Joe Biden did could not even be compared. And it was a very clear and obvious binary choice. And they chose Donald Trump to do what he did in the first 4 years of his administration and maybe even do it better.
Now, Bishop, you live in Virginia, which is a military stronghold there where you live. Were you surprised that Virginia went for Harris?
I wish I could say I was. But Virginia has a major demographic problem. And the problem is that Washington, D.C. has filled Northern Virginia with a bunch of leftist bureaucrats, and they vote overwhelmingly liberal. And they have really tilted the entire state, and in many ways, they've ruined Virginia. Remember, it was Loudoun County, for example, that used to be solidly conservative, that lectured this father whose daughter had been raped in a girl's restroom by some guy claiming to be a girl, lectured him and then had him arrested, and the guy went on to rape another girl. That's happening in Northern Virginia. One of the premier private schools. They wanted to do away with merit admission and create all this DEI stuff that was really intended to diversify the school by surrendering quality and a commitment to excellence. I mean, they are really in many ways a curse. That demographic up there is a curse on the state. And we joke all the time about wishing that somehow we could really drain the swamp and they could be sent to other parts of the country and dispersed, or that they would just go somewhere else, because Virginia is a conservative state, but Northern Virginia skews us left. And that's going to be a big hurdle to overcome. We got a lot of work to do to overcome that.
Yeah. Well, when we talk about or Trump talks about draining the swamp, you know, and that was in the first administration. We heard that a lot. I don't think anybody realized how deep and wide the swamp is. You have the DOJ and the FBI and FEMA, and it seems like all these organizations within the government are just all given over to leftist ideologies. Bishop, what would be your counsel to President Trump when he tackles that huge mountain?
You know, he is really an historic figure, and I think even people who don't like him have to admit that he really is an historic figure. I mean, he's done something that hasn't been done since Grover Cleveland 131 years ago. And really he's shifting the demographic. We have more black people voting for him who hadn't voted Republican before, more young people voting for him who had been voting Democrat, more Hispanics voting for him. I mean, so he really is an historic figure. I would say to him, you got to use this mandate to really secure the nation's future. In order to do that, you're going to have to really shake some things up. I mean, I like the policy of mass deportation, but with regard to the federal government, I think he's going to have to really clean house. We may have to go back and take another look at civil service and ask some hard questions about whether it's serving the country the way it was intended. In fact, I think Grover Cleveland was one of the people who kind of implemented that to try to get it away from politics. But now it has become sort of a monster of its own, where people get embedded in the federal government. They have their own agenda, and they'll fight the elected president of the United States from within the government. He's got to clean that up somehow, and I'm not exactly sure how to do it, but I think he's got to take a real battle axe to it and say, look, if you're not going to support the administration, I don't care what level you're at, you need to go.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there is, I had Tom Askell on the program on Wednesday right after the election, and we were talking about the fact that it's like, we were celebrating that Trump got reelected, which was just a, you know, I believe, an answer to prayer.
Yes.
And it's just God's hand on our country saying, I'm not done with you yet. But there's much work to do. It's kind of like after a hurricane. Well, you were spared from the destructive forces of the hurricane, but now you have trees down everywhere, power lines down. I mean, it's just a total mess. And so how do you think, and I know Trump's one of those guys that he doesn't let the grass grow under his feet. He's going to be a hard charger. What do you think should be his priorities moving forward, Bishop?
Well, look, obviously he needs to address the economy. I think he's going to do that expeditiously. I think he's going to, again, reestablish America as energy independent and have us be net exporters instead of importers of energy. He's got to secure the border. I think his program for mass deportation is the right one. I think he's got to make these U.S. attorneys and federal prosecutors champions for law and order and secure these streets. And he promised before, he said, where the local prosecutors are not doing their job, we will step in. I think some of these crimes have got to be federalized, and we've got to put the federal government in the position of prosecuting people where they're going to actually be put in jail and be sent away for a lengthy period of time so that we can restore public safety to our streets. I mean, my goodness. So I think he's got to aggressively do that. But you know, here's the thing that we as Christians have better be aware of. Donald Trump alone cannot change the culture. He can help. He can create an atmosphere in which it's easier to get it done. But for example, we've got a whole university system that's indoctrinating people to be Marxists and leftists. And if that factory system continues to churn out people, what does it mean for the future of the country? I think Donald Trump has got to say, if your university is going to be an indoctrination camp, you will not get federal funds. You can do that on your own, but you will not get federal assistance to indoctrinate people and to turn out people who hate America. And he's got to look at the culture and ask questions. What can we do to change what we are producing in our country so that liberty and constitutional governance become important to the American people again, not just the bywords and, you know, the throwaways as well, you know, we got to preserve our democracy, which really means we got to preserve abortion and we got to preserve our right to run things, which is really all they're talking about. We got to preserve our constitutional republic, which means the American people are sovereign, not any political party.
Well, I think you bring up a good point about the college campuses and what kids are being taught in these elite schools, especially. I mean, where you came from, Harvard, how would you compare the Harvard that you graduated from with your law degree versus the Harvard of today?
Well, it was already happening, but it hadn't become what it is today. I mean, when I was at Harvard, there was a teacher, Duncan Kennedy, who was teaching critical legal studies. I didn't take his class, but he was basically arguing that the law is irrelevant because all it is the reflection of a bunch of powerful white men imposing their will on others. And so that was the precursor to critical race theory and to other, you know, studies that basically, like Karl Marx said, you've got to ruthlessly criticize everything. And that's what you have to do in order to reimagine, as they would put it, the country and fundamentally transform it. So the Harvard I went to was in that transition, but it wasn't there yet. Derrick Bell, who's the godfather, they say, of critical race theory, again, he was at Harvard while I was there, but I didn't take his class either, thank God. But yeah, it was starting then. But you know, that's what I always say. You know, these esoteric ideas that these universities come up with, like right now they're saying we should ignore the Constitution. It's an old document written by a bunch of old racist white men. We should ignore that. That stuff, if we don't address it, it becomes predominant 20, 25 years later. And so, Harvard has changed. And the thing is, it doesn't look like it's about to reverse its course. John Harvard founded the country with some compatriots, founded the university for the purpose of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ across this continent. And they have completely betrayed his legacy.
That's so true. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to our good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson. And it's fitting because E.W. is a Marine Corps veteran. Today is Veterans Day. And we do salute our troops and the brave men and women who have served, who are serving to protect our freedoms. And Bishop, do you have any special plans for today?
I'm going to be doing what I'm doing with you right now, talking to veterans every opportunity I have through my own podcast and other things, and encouraging them and letting them know how much we love and honor them and their service.
Amen. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we are up against a break, but we will be back with more Bishop E.W. Jackson. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to veteran Bishop E.W. Jackson, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard-trained lawyer, pastor, author, keynote speaker, and the president and founder of Stand. So, Bishop, I got to ask you, I'm assuming you stayed up pretty late Tuesday night to see what was transpiring before our eyes. Were you surprised, or did you think this was going to take place?
Jeff, just before I address that, let me say you asked me about what we were doing for veterans. I forgot to mention we have a school called the Maximum Potential Christian Academy, and we have a luncheon for veterans there today to teach our young people the importance of our veterans and honoring them. You know, the importance of duty and courage and sacrifice and all that's gone into making this country the great nation we've become. So I just wanted to mention that too. So you asked me what I'm doing, because we love our veterans and we want to make sure that our young people learn to love them too. I was up until it was declared that Donald Trump was the 47th president of the United States. I could not. There was no way for me to go to sleep, because I could see which way things were trending, and I couldn't have gone to sleep if I tried. So I was there on edge until every network that is worth a salt had to acknowledge that Donald Trump had won the presidency. And yes, it was a moment of elation. I said the first time he won, I almost took a bite out of the armchair I was sitting in, and I had a similar experience this time. I tell you, the smile has not left my face since I learned that Donald Trump became president of the United States. And you say, you know, he's a flawed man. He's not Jesus,
right?
But I just think he's going to be so much better for this country, and that we, you know, Jeff, the Lord spoke to me when Donald Trump was almost assassinated. His ear was actually shot. And the Lord said to me, this was I felt in my heart, that God was saying, in the same way that I allowed Donald Trump to dodge the bullet, I'm going to allow your country to dodge the bullet. Mm. And we really did. You said it earlier, but we really did dodge the bullet, because I don't know what we would have become had Kamala Harris and Tim Walz been elected as president and vice president of this country. And I am so grateful to God that that didn't happen.
Amen. Well, I got sent this the other day, Bishop. It was a post on X from Dinesh D'Souza. He said, "The Trump effect. 72 hours after winning the 2024 election, we had the first female chief of staff appointed, New York City to stop giving debit cards to illegals, U.S. companies bringing production back home, stock market hitting all-time highs, Bitcoin hitting all-time highs, newest migrant caravan breaking up, Qatar agrees to evict Hamas leaders. Hamas wants immediate end to the war. Taliban claims to want new chapter. China wants peaceful coexistence. Russia is ready to speak with the U.S. EU wants to buy U.S. gas, not Russian gas. And Ukraine leaders in talks with Trump, Elon." What a difference strong leadership makes. And it really is the fear factor, the respect factor, because those world leaders, they know that Trump doesn't play around. And with Kamala Harris, you would have had a buffoon. She doesn't know what's going on, and they're not stupid. They know that.
Yeah, and Jeff, they know something else too. They understand that Trump, and this is what I say to people when they, you know, launch criticisms and say, you know, what about this? Say, Trump loves America. Trump cares about the American people.
Yes.
And Trump is prepared to fight for the well-being of our country and our people. And he's not playing games when it comes to that. I mean, the reality is, And I would love to sit down and talk to one of these people, but I just don't sense. I didn't sense it with Barack Obama. I didn't sense it with Kamala Harris or Tim Walz, that they really love this country, that they want the best for all Americans. I get the sense more, and I think the world knows it too. It is about their power and their agenda. And so that's why you get Biden releasing $200 billion to Iran, even though they're the greatest exporter of terrorism in the world. And that's why you get people, you know, this allowing people to come across our border, which they know is not good for the American people. It's not good for our economy, but they think it's good for them. And I think that people, the world leaders know these folks will do whatever's expedient that they think will help them politically, whereas Donald Trump is going to take no prisoners when it comes to defending the national security and the well-being of the American people and our nation.
Amen to that. Well, were you surprised? I mean, you have all the armchair quarterbacks that come together after the big election and they start talking about why we lost. I heard James Carville saying the most defining moment of the election cycle and why Kamala Harris lost had to do with The View when she was asked the question, what would you do differently from Joe Biden? And she said, I can't think of anything. He said that was a critical error that really kind of sealed her doom. But do you think the Democrats understand what's going on, or are they just totally in the dark?
Yeah, I think if they think that that was the only thing, I think they're totally in the dark. Seth Moulton, for example, who is the congressman from the 6th District of Massachusetts, he's a Democrat. Of course, Massachusetts is controlled by Democrats, said that I've got two daughters. I don't want guys playing on my daughter's team. They are actually trying to get him to resign now. They are saying he has betrayed Democrat values and that he is not worthy to be a congressman from Massachusetts. I mean, this is how far off these people are. And we know that's what Kamala Harris represents. I mean, Tim Walz putting tampons in boys' restrooms. I think the American people looked at her overall and concluded, number one, she really is a radical leftist, no matter what she tries to sell us now. Number two, she has no moral core whatsoever, which is why she won't tell us where she really stands. So therefore, she'll be a puppet for whatever forces are behind her, whatever forces control her. And number three, she doesn't have the fortitude that is needed in a dangerous world to send the signal to our enemies, don't mess around with Americans and don't mess around with America, because if you do, there's going to be a terrible price to pay. And, you know, George Washington said the best way to secure the peace is to be prepared for war. He didn't want war. He didn't want foreign entanglements, but he knew that strength was the way to avoid those entanglements and to avoid war with other nations.
That's exactly right. And I've said many times, Bishop, that especially when you're dealing with Muslims only know one thing, and that's strength. If you try and be weak with them, they just see that as an opportunity to get more ground, gain more ground. You got to stand up to the bully and punch him in the mouth. And Trump is willing to do that.
Yeah, you try to look. They're appeasers, because again, their focus is not what's good for the American people. Their focus is what they think is good for them. And so, for example, when Kamala Harris was asked about this this referendum in California that rolled back some of these very liberal policies toward crime, she wouldn't take a stand on it. Yet she wants us to believe that she's a strong prosecutor. She could have simply said, yeah, we've got to do something about crime in our country, and this is one step in the right direction, but she wouldn't take a stand at all. And I think the American people saw all of that and realized this woman is not for us. She doesn't want what's good for us. She's after power, and she'll say whatever she thinks she needs to say, but the reality is she can't hide her inauthenticity. And Donald Trump reeks of authenticity. One thing you know about Donald Trump, what you see is what you get. I mean, he's not trying to pretend to be somebody else. He's not running around trying to change his speaking intonation in order to satisfy or placate some group he's talking to. That's the games these people play. And I think the American people just saw through that.
Well, I think the transgender insanity issue was a big thing in the election. And CNN had a little, I don't know if you saw this, Bishop, but they had a round table. And two guys, Shermichael Singleton and Jay Michelson, got into an argument. And I wanted to play a little bit of that clip.
I think there are a lot of families out there who don't believe boys should play girls' sports.
They're not boys. I'm not going to listen to transphobia at this table. I am not going to listen to you call a trans girl a boy.
Are you going to allow me to finish my explanation?
When you use a word that's a slur, I'm going to interrupt. That's not how it is. They're not boys. They're not boys. They're not playing girls' softball. I'm not going to sit there and listen to that.
Let's reset for a second because, look, this is a really heated issue, right? And Sharmichael, I know you. I know that you understand that people have different views on this. I think out of respect for Jay, like, let's try to talk about this in a way that is respectful.
Okay, so let me rephrase this since I'm being targeted here.
You are not being targeted.
But I am, but it's okay.
I'm specifically saying that I know that you are not intending to be transphobic.
He should know that I'm not.
So they had this big discussion, and you have to use the correct verbiage, and the words, you know, are so critical. Their bottom line is Americans, by and large, see that. It's boys playing girls' sports. I think with this guy, Jay Michelson, who is coming unglued, you just say, hey, you don't have XY chromosomes playing XX sports. Argue with that, because science, common sense, and scripture all tell us that boys are not girls and girls are not boys, and you can't change. Those gender and sex are inseparably linked together. But do you think that, I know in the Democrat Party, you get, as you said, you get ushered out if you don't toe the party line. Surely they know that the people in their own party, that by and large, the quote-unquote regular people, don't buy into that garbage.
I think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, that talks about God giving people up to strong delusion because they did not have the love of the truth. And this is very strong delusion. That's what that clip evidenced, strong delusion. You're right. Every cell, and you and I, all human beings, have trillions of cells in our body, and every single cell is marked with our gender. Either it has an XX chromosome or an XY chromosome if you're a boy or male, an XX chromosome if you're a female, and you can't change that. And but for these are the people who lectured us during COVID, follow the science, follow the science. Remember that? You know,
yeah.
Every time they wanted to impose some ridiculous rule on us, they would say, follow the science. And now all of a sudden, ignore the science and just follow your feelings. So once again, it's about their agenda. It's not about truth or facts. And you're right. I think men particularly, Jeff, men particularly, this is what Seth Moulton said. Look, I'm a father. I'm not having some guy go in my daughter's restroom, follow in behind her. And we've seen it in prisons. We saw it in Loudoun County. It's probably happened in other places where guys use this because, you know, you can be a quote unquote transgender. I don't buy the term, but you can be that and still have the same attraction to the opposite sex. So which means you could be a sexual predator and you go into a lady's restroom and you're there. Having guy feelings to, I mean, this stuff is just, and I think most men look at that and say, you know, we're Christians, of course, and I'm not recommending violence, but most men look at that and say, brother, you're getting on the fighting side of me when you start following my wife or my daughter into the restroom,
right,
talking about you're a woman and I'm supposed to accept that.
Bishop, were you surprised that we didn't see any violent protests, a day or two after the election?
Pleasantly surprised. And because, you know, I know they are angry. But, you know, here's what we have to always remember, Jeff, all of us. God is in this, man. God is in this. As I said before, I mean, I'm not going to have an argument about how much Donald Trump has his hand in God's hand. But I'll tell you what, I'll argue all day long that I believe the hand of God is on Donald Trump. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe God is using him to move this country in the direction that we have prayed for. And so, you know, I really think the Holy Spirit is doing a work in the country right now. I think people are waking up. We saw rappers coming in behind Trump. we saw that he got a much better vote among women than they were predicting. So the whole thing of abortion that was supposed to be the sort of the sleeper that was going to give her the election, I think a lot of women decided, you know what, I'm tired of people telling me that what makes me a woman is the desire to kill my unborn baby. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more to being a woman than that. In fact, that's a violation of the natural order of things for people to want to kill their own progeny. But that's what the Democrats are selling. I think God just moved on the hearts of the American people. And of course, a lot of people put a lot of work in, of course. Faith without works is dead. But I really believe this is ultimately a work of God moving this country in the direction that he wants it to go.
Do you see the stranglehold the Democrat Party has had on the black community? Do you see that starting to break?
You know, I have no doubt about it. I said if Trump got 20% of the black vote, that would be an historic shift. If he got 15%, that would be significant, and we should build on that. And I have to commend him, too. I'm not in his inner circle or anything, but you know, I commend Donald Trump because I've been trying to get Republicans, Jeff, to spend some money and some time and some energy reaching out to the black community, not just at election time, but on an ongoing basis, making the case on the basis of values, making the case on the basis of family or education. And they just won't do it. I want to thank people who donated to our PAC because we advertised in many gospel stations in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, even a couple of hip-hop stations. And we had two gospel stations that told us they didn't want to run our ads because we were telling Christians to vote their Christian values. I mean, so, but all the rest ran them. Two refused, but all the rest did. So I think something is going on and we've got to build on it.
Yeah, I listened to that ad. I thought it was spot on. I was shocked that the Christian stations, quote unquote Christian stations, wouldn't air that. Well, Bishop, we are coming up on a break. Do you have time to stay with us for some
Q&A? Absolutely, Jeff.
Q&A?
Happy to stay with you.
Good. So we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we would love to hear from you. We are celebrating the fact that God answered our prayers. We know that deliverance doesn't come from a man, but God uses men and women to bring about what he wants to accomplish. And we give the Lord all the praise. You know, David had to go out there against Goliath. It was overwhelming. The odds were stacked against him, but David knew that God had called him to stand up, speak up, and be the courageous warrior that he was. And God gave the victory. So he knew that the battle was the Lord's. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, and we're talking about the issues of the day post-election, what that means for America as Donald Trump is going to shortly be sworn in as the 47th President of the United States of America. We are rejoicing because we know in this election that just took place last Tuesday, it was a choice between moving to a more righteous platform and position for our country, a more law and order position versus Kamala Harris and Tim Walz taking the country further left off a cliff, in my opinion, that would have been disastrous. And so we prayed and God answered. Well, we are going to take your calls at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. And the bishop is still with us, so you can direct your questions to him if you have a question for him. And we have Victoria on the line from Arkansas. Victoria, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Really, I don't have a question. I was just excited that I was able to call in and want to tell you how much I appreciate the both of you and Pastor Jeff, especially you. I'm just so excited. I listen to you guys every day. I'm a single mom of two kids in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and y'all are my favorite. Also, one of these days, my mom and I are going to drive down to Texarkana and go to your church one morning. So,
oh, we'd love that.
Yeah,
we'd love it. Where do you go to church?
At Evangel Temple. I actually have three different churches in Fort Smith, different friends, and I attend all three of them throughout. Like just go to each one every week. So, but I was going to say, when you guys called last week, you called a bunch of people to start praying at 6 p.m. for our country and for the election and for God to have mercy on us. And I just wanted to let you know that I had a few friends and I got them all to do it with me, too. And so we really dove in at 6 p.m. and really prayed for our country, too. So I'm glad to see that everything has been working out the way that God has intended.
Amen. Well, thank you, Victoria. I appreciate that. And Jeff,
let me just say, I've been to your church and preached at your church. And Victoria, you couldn't find a better church to visit. I would encourage you and all the listeners, get over to Pastor Jeff's church. And believe me, you will have a wonderful spiritual experience. It was an honor for me to be able to preach at your church, Jeff. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Bishop. You did a great job. Thanks, Victoria. And well, we look forward to having you. Make sure call first, so make sure that I'm here, and I look forward to meeting you. So we have Mary on the line from Tennessee. Mary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
I was calling about my experience trying to vote this year and find out more information about the candidates. I listen to AFR regularly, and I went to the library to Google to try to find iVoter guide through the web browser, and it showed me a blank white page. I was never able to get any more information about the candidates going down that path. Apparently, there's some blocks with some of the search engines on that, so I wasn't able to locate information on that at all.
Wow, that's weird. Yeah, I pulled it up on iVoterGuide.com. I don't know. That's for the AFR tech guys to figure out if there was an issue there. But I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, there's some weird things going on in the big tech world, as people know. And so, yeah, the best thing to do is just tell AFR something's going wrong here. Because I did commentary on the election, and they blocked it. They blocked my commentary completely because they claimed there was hate speech included.
Oh, God.
we keep pressing ahead.
Yeah, Bishop, hate speech is anything they hate.
That's exactly right. And what they hate is whatever God loves, whatever God says, whatever God wants to do. That's what they hate. In fact, I read the scripture and they said, you know, so basically what they're saying really is the Bible is a book of hate speech.
Right.
But we understand that they're just in the darkness, and we need to keep shining the light.
Yeah, amen. Well, thank you for that, Mary. I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Well, we have Pam on the line from Texas. Pam, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, and bless both of you very, very much.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
A true blessing. Every day I love listening to you every day.
Thank you.
My comment is, you know, I really do believe the black vote is changing. And last week I had met with a banker, and single mom. Her husband left her after she had her baby, and she's raising her son by herself. And she was like, I want him to grow up to be strong. I don't want him to be in the bathroom with the girls. I don't want him to think that's okay. She says, I just can't believe where this country is going. She says, I had no other choice but to vote for Trump. There and there was another woman at a place to get your hair cut, and she said the same thing. Both of these women were black. I believe they're going back to their core values. They truly are.
Praise God.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good word. Bishop, let me ask you this, piggybacking on her. In the black church, which has sadly been so all in the tank for the Democrats, are we seeing a shift there where the pastors are starting to say, hey, no more of this? And just like with the abortion issue, abortion is killing the black community. And it doesn't make any sense at all why the pastors would be supporting this Margaret Sanger-founded killing machine that's going after blacks specifically.
You know, this may be one of those situations where the people lead the priests, because I had an experience in Boston where I couldn't get ministers to help me fight the gay right, the so-called gay rights bill, when they were trying to pass it the first time in Massachusetts. And when I started doing ads on the radio and the Christians got stirred up, suddenly the pastors got interested. And, you know, many of these black pastors, they are beholden to the Democrat Party. They're getting walking around money. They're getting breaks from these Democrat administrations. They're getting land to build their churches on. In other words, they're basically being given 30 pieces of silver to betray the Word of God and their allegiance to Jesus Christ. And so they give their allegiance to the Democrat Party no matter what. I think they're people because they're not getting those kinds of rewards. And they're seeing their lives made worse by these policies, are going to wake up probably before the pastors do. And maybe once they've really awakened in sufficient numbers, the pastors will say, you know what, I've got a new revelation about this now, and I'm seeing it differently than I ever have before. And that's why I do ads on the radio and try to go around a lot of these pastors who I know have really sadly been bought by the Democrat Party.
That's just... it's just horrible. Those guys need to stand up and be counted. The only thing I can figure, Bishop, on that is a lot of those guys are not believers. They're preaching a different gospel, and it is about feathering their own nest, and they're, you know, putting money in their pocket and position and power and all that. You think about the Reverend Jackson and others, Bishop Sharpton. Al Sharpton.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the relationship with Jesus with those guys?
Well, you're right. Look, I pastored and practiced law. And while I was practicing law, I had the opportunity to represent some ministers in some very dicey situations. And I learned through the process that there are a lot of people in ministry that are not saved. They don't know Jesus. They're doing it because it's a family tradition. They're doing it because it's an opportunity to have a platform or to be important, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you are absolutely right about that. And I think, you know, it's not the federal government that should be telling preachers what they can and cannot should and should not say, but the people need to respond with their votes, with their tithes, with their attendance, and say, look, you're teaching the Word of God. You're teaching us to stand on it. I'm for you. When you veer off of that, I'm gone. Instead of just sitting there because it's kind of, you know, it's a clubhouse and, you know, we're all part of the club and it doesn't really matter what we stand for. It just matters that we gather together. I mean, it's a sort of a cultural thing rather than being a spiritual organism, the body of Jesus Christ. So, yeah, we got a lot of work to do in the church, but I believe the Spirit of God is at work right now.
Okay, so Bishop, if you went to some of those places that are, you know, I can't think of the name of the church that had Kamala Harris, what, just a week before the election. If they invited you to speak there, would people start throwing shoes at you?
I think there'd be some people who'd be very upset with me, but I tell you what I've found whenever I've had an opportunity to preach to a predominantly black audience, I find most of the people are with me.
Really?
Because if they are truly Christians and you're demonstrating what you have to say is based upon, rooted and grounded in the Word of God, then they've got to either say, look, I'm not a Christian and I don't care what the Bible says, or they've got to say, amen, brother, I agree with you. And so if you say to people, listen, God made them male and female, how can we vote for a party that is telling us, no, you're crazy, just like that clip you played, and telling us we're crazy. No, he's not a guy, he's a girl. Why? Because he says so.
Right.
Excuse me. I think most people say, yeah, that doesn't make a lick of common sense, and it certainly doesn't make any biblical sense. It's only these people who've got an ox to gore. You know what I mean? They've got irons in the fire. They got deals that they've done, and they will ignore the truth just to go along with it and get whatever benefits they think they're deriving from it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Second Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and then a long list of other terrible things. But the lovers of money, I think that we've had so many guys, pastors, medical community people, and lawyers, others that are they're just bought and paid for with money. And they'll say whatever, scientists, they'll say whatever you pay them to say, rather than staying with the truth. So we have lots of work to do.
And the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, isn't it?
It sure is. Well, thank you for that call. We have Roy on the line from New Hampshire. Roy, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff and Bishop Jackson, man, I wish I could just sit down and have a cup of coffee with you guys and we just chop it up a little bit. But anyway, my question is this. How, from a layman's perspective, how do we prevent these people that voted red from flipping back blue in the next election cycle? I tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Spirit leads when I'm at work, when I'm on the road. And how do we keep this is what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. How do we keep this? Because these people that voted red can easily flip back and vote blue in the next election cycle. So,
right. Good question. Bishop?
Well, look, I think we've got to continue to proclaim the truth. There are forces at work to silence us, to censor us. And I think we've got to keep proclaiming the truth. And I think we've got to relate the word of God to our position. I always tell people, I don't have an opinion about homosexuality. The word of God tells me what I'm supposed to think. And I agree with God's word. I don't have an opinion about abortion. The word of God teaches me and tells me what I should think about it. And when we're talking to Christians, particularly, I think we just have to keep saying, this is what the word of God says.
Right.
And we are responsible to obey it. When it comes to others, I think we have to show them the track record. I mean, I've said to many people who wouldn't buy a spiritual argument, I said, but look, Trump's got a record. And what did he do for the economy? What did he do for the border? What did he do for worldwide stability and getting us out of all these senseless, needless wars and putting our people? I mean, he did the right things. And that's what we have to pay attention to, not the rhetoric or something he tweeted out, but what his policies are.
Right. Roy, you're exactly right. So people that are flip-floppers like that, they don't have any convictions, and so we need to keep holding up the word of God. So this is why we believe what we believe, and it's not rooted in just our opinion. It's rooted in, as Bishop Jackson just said, it's rooted in what God says. And Bishop, I wrote an article after the election, and I just titled it, Who's on the Lord's Side? You know, that's what Moses said to the people when he came down from the mountain and they were worshiping the golden calf. Whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me. So that is the big issue. We need to be on the Lord's side as we move forward. Well, we have time for one more call. And Roy, thank you for your call. Kara in Oklahoma. Kara, you have we have about another minute.
Okay, well, I'm in the arts. I'm a theater person, and so that means I have a whole lot of blue friends. Mm. And I've noticed that there's a lot of anger amongst them. Two of them have told me to just cut them off entirely, and of course I've really tried to tell them how much I'm terribly sorry that they feel that way, and I love them very much, and I know that they're rooted in a lot of passion right now, and that's where their anger's coming from. But one of my friends, one of my very best friends, told me I was a part of a cult because now the demographic, we've picked up more people from other demographics and their eyes are starting to be opened. And so now it seems that the anger is being turned against Christians specifically. We are now part of a cult. We are dangerous and we need to be eliminated.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well,
that's projection, Jeff. They're the cult. We are standing on the truth.
Yeah. Amen. Good answer. Well, Bishop, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. It's always a pleasure to be with you too, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, brother. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And as has been stated, we need to, as Christians, we need to keep praying. The battle is still on. And, you know, Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms. And when Moses' arms were held up, then Israel won. When his arms went down, Israel began to lose to Amalek. And so we have to continue to pray and ask God to have his way in our land. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.